Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 28th of October, recording at 9:24 p.m. And this is the last time this year that I get to say that this is still British summertime as our clocks go backwards on Sunday. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here on the week. That's easy. Because it's all been about the European sovereign debt rescue package. And stock markets liked it beforehand. They were optimistic in terms of what they were discounting, and that proved justified yesterday when we saw enormous gains. And we had steady action in here today. We had Asian stock markets quite strong, and they had also been rallying during the week, and the European stock markets mixed today, a few more closing with small losses than small gains, but in the Americas we mostly closed with very modest gains, but it's all, effectively it's almost an unchanged day here. Government bond prices, which had fallen so sharply yesterday, rallied a little bit today in the U.S., but not in Europe, where there are very small losses shown on the long-dated government bond prices. The dollar, which has been falling quite sharply, steadied just a fraction in here today. Very modest modest gains. And a quiet day here overall, I would say, in contrast to yesterday. Precious metals. Gold was $10 or $11 down early in the day, but closed almost unchanged. It's currently, I think it's closed now, $17.43 and 73 cents. Platinum a little higher, palladium a little lower, silver up nearly 15 cents on the day. Copper slightly steadier, 371.55. Other industrial metals mixed. Brent crude, that was interesting, fell a couple of dollars back to 111. That's positive. Or is it lower than that? Let me just check. Given the importance of oil, back to 110. That's good, because if Owen and I fear anything, we fear that we're going to get that we would fear crude prices pushing up sharply. Although I don't feel that that's justified on a fundamental basis. Certainly not for Brent. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, again, we go back to the European situation. The markets liked the verdict. Now, you know, we know all that business about the devil's in the detail, and they were short on facts and so on, but I think to overemphasize those factors is to miss the big picture on this. And that big picture, of course, as I mentioned in yesterday's audio, is that there were a lot of apocalyptic forecasts. You know, the euro was going to break up, either because Greece would get thrown out, and there'd be a people were saying there's no such thing as an orderly default, and that would cause all sorts of contagion. Other people were saying that Germany was about to bail out of the euro itself, should leave the region in chaos. This would all spread around the world and cause a deep recession, if not global depression. Now, that was never our view, as you probably know. You'll certainly know if you've been listening to the audios and reading Comment of the Day. And it was fairly apocalyptic, and that's what markets had been discounting. So when you get some news that says, well, wait a minute, you know, these people have grasped the nettle and are taking the necessary steps in this long-term recovery process, to not only keep the euro together, but to get some of the sovereign debt under control, to recapitalize the banks. And hey, presto, the situation doesn't look that bad. And I've got a report that I'm going to post here today, which says that as some of these European countries go from current account deficit into current account surplus, that makes their long-dated debt look quite attractive. Ireland is a case in point. You can still get a rate of interest over 8% on what are now 9-year durations for Irish debt, and that's because they're not issuing any. They haven't issued any 10-year bonds recently, but the ones that were released a year ago now yield 8%. That's yield to maturity. And I think the Irish government's only paying about 4.4 or 4.5 percent, and the bond's trading at about 80. Now, and Ireland's current account deficit has moved into a surplus. So they've cut back hard, and they're very good at exporting specialty foods. So when we think about it, or if I think about it, if I were going to own long-dated government debt, well, I'd almost certainly go for Asian debt because I'd pick up the stronger currencies as well. What are normally the strongest currencies, and they've been recovering strongly following the so-called flight to safety in the US dollar. That's been unwound. That's been unleashed against most currencies, at least a half to three quarters of those dollar gains have already been unwound. But my point is that while my preference would be the debt of the emerging market growth economies, I'd still rather buy Irish 9-year bonds yielding 8% on a yield to maturity than US 10-year bonds yielding 2.25% or less. And the U.S. is still in a massive current account deficit position, has yet to turn that around. Okay, so weigh it up overall. The euro situation now boils down to what happens with Italy. Italy was always the big prize in this war between the bond vigilantes, which are mainly the short sellers in here, and the ECB and the European politicians' attempts to sort out their sovereign debt problems and to recapitalize their banks. So again, see, Italy was always the big prize, and it's still up for grabs because the Berlusconi government has just not delivered. And a political a change in terms of leadership there is definitely required. But Italian colleagues and friends that I talk to about this feel that Italy can definitely manage its situation. It'll need to, like everybody else, it'll need to raise some retirement ages. It will need to cut back on some government spending programs, and it'll need to sell some state-owned assets, all of which are perfectly feasible over the next few years, and it's able to manage its debt. So my feeling is very much that we are not only past the nadir of this crisis, but that Europe has largely lost its capacity to shock markets in a major way. That doesn't mean that there won't be disappointments, that there won't be setbacks, There'll be stories, there'll be rumors, but we can forget about a breakup of the euro for the foreseeable future, and that's all we can really plan for. We can forget about a Lehman moment in terms of the European banks. Governments will nationalize if they have to. We can forget about, I think, another big blowout in the yields for these European banks. Therefore, we can forget about a massive contagion spreading across the Atlantic and around the globe. Now, that's a big change in terms of overall perceptions, and that's why I feel that having seen the meltdown in stock markets in August and September, that we're now in a good position to see a bit more of the melt up, which we've seen so far this month. And if melt up is an exaggeration, markets do fall faster than they go up, but it was still a pretty dramatic rally this month. So a little bit of consolidation, and I think we move higher. And I've reviewed a number of charts again today, and a number of indices have seen their best rallies really of the year. And off and off accelerated lows, and accelerated lows are climactic lows. Those are type 1 endings, as taught at the chart seminar. So I think the technical picture has improved considerably, and valuations are that much lower than they were at the 2010 reaction lows. You can remember sentiment was mighty pessimistic back at the 2010 reaction lows. And we saw some pretty good gains from that level. And I think we'll see some pretty good gains from this level, which are also underpinned by the better valuations on the types of shares that we like. And those better valuations, we'll be a little bit more cautious about the PE ratios because we know the price. We can't be sure about the earnings. But the yields are there, and they're better than they were at the 2010 lows. So this is all part of that big valuation contraction that I have illustrated so often. And if you want to see a very good chart of that, just go to the presentation section. Upper, use the look on the menu, upper left on the Fuller Money home page, and you'll see the presentations section about halfway down, or you can search for it because Owen had posted it, I think, on the 6th or 7th, I think it was on the 7th of October. And look at that long-term chart of the S&P. It's one of the earliest charts showing this valuation contraction cycle that I've been talking about that started in 2000. And it's not dissimilar to the valuation contraction cycle that started in 1966. So, where do we go from here? Well, I think that stock markets, as I say, will move higher during the remainder of this year, and that will probably carry on into next year. China, interestingly, and I've reviewed that today, I'd mentioned earlier in the week that we had seen two upside key day reversals off lows in what looks like an overextended to the downside China A-share market. And we've had a few false dawns like that by that index. I've been fooled by it when it is steadied in the past, but it's that much lower this time, and the valuations are extremely low. And I'm posting that chart as well. So that looks interesting. And as of the last 5 days, it's also posted a small weekly key reversal. So the two daily keys and the weekly key. Now that's an unusual set of circumstances. Again, a market that's overextended to the downside, where everybody has been bearish, and most people have been debating whether China gets a hard landing, and most of them, or a soft landing, and most of them are saying how hard will the hard landing be? So I think that's also an overestimation of risk generally. India's had a good week. The Sensex and the Nifty 50 have done better than the banks index, Bombay Banks Index, which is a little bit of a concern. But these stock markets are anticipating a monetary easing that has yet to occur. And that can leave some room for disappointment, obviously, but it's also the market is a discounting mechanism, and I'm encouraged by the fact that a number of investors seem to think that the next move will be towards monetary easing. So that's favorable overall. Technically, I maintain, as I said yesterday, that the evidence is reasonably conclusive that we've seen important lows for stock markets. I'm glad to be in the markets, and I'll put a little more money in these markets shortly. What about the long-dated government bonds? Well, it's hard to argue that U.S. Treasuries are not forming top formations in terms of prices. That's base bottom formations, base building in terms of yields. But we've got Mr. Bernanke, who's committed to buying long-dated issues, so maybe yields don't go up all that much. He'll be keen to keep them low, and maybe prices don't come down all that much because of Mr. Bernanke's buying. But again, we have slow growth, we have inflation. People have been denying that there is inflation there. It's mostly commodity price inflation, as I've said all along, that would be the problem. And that's going to be reflected in bond yields later, if not sooner. So over the long term, I remain a bear, and I think that the banks will be less keen to be playing the yield curve in future, but perhaps not before the Fed stops buying those long-dated issues. In terms of global GDP growth, I think the data points fairly clearly to the fact that we are not going to see recession in the U.S. economy this year. A lot of people said it was in recession. A lot of people said it never really pulled out of recession. Well, it's a pretty weak growth phase, that's for sure, but it's not recession. And that's more positive for stock markets generally. And the corporations that we like are in very healthy shape. Overall, strong balance sheets, decent yields, which they're in a position to increase, still getting positive earnings flow. So I see that modest rate of growth of global GDP growth continuing, and I was talking really about the U.S. growth, I think continuing into next year. Now, maybe things deteriorate thereafter, but this year, no, we're going to avoid recession in the U.S. That's important, and that momentum should carry into the at least through the first quarter of next year. So what I'm trying to point out is that the situation is a lot better than what markets had been discounting. Thus, I think we have scope for further gains in these stock markets. Now, what about the commodity prices? Again, we've seen some sharp rebounds. In a way, they've mirrored what we've seen with stock markets. And we have some type 1 endings to the downside, some very good rebounds. I think more commodities are likely to rise than to go down. Fundamentally, I don't think there's a strong case for crude oil going up. I hope we don't get too much speculation in the crude oil price. And we may not, because I'm not the only person who's going to appreciate that fundamental background is not all that strong. The demand is not all that high. The supply is increasing and will increase further as more Libyan production comes on stream. So, again, if oil is held in check, the global economy will muddle through here in better shape than a lot of people have actually been expecting. And that's what I expect it to do. Precious metals, well, I'm always a little bit cautious following an accelerated peak. And that's what we saw with gold, of course. But it did bottom and rebound quite sharply from a level around 1550. I think it looks very much to me as if it's support building. Following prior accelerations, it's tended to spend quite a bit of time ranging after this. Prior accelerations lead to a big shakeout, which we've seen, and then a lengthy period of ranging, mostly with a bias of rising lows, and that eventually sets gold up for another big run to the upside. I think that's what we will see. I think the next big run to the upside is something that will happen over the medium term, not the short term. In other words, it could be. I don't know. I'm just seat of the pants guess, but it could be. It could be up to a year away. The more important point is that I think it will happen. And the more of a buildup of support that we get, the better it will look. And as I say, I think it will take place. The rebound in copper is impressive. That's a metal that I certainly don't think is going to stay down for very long, and it hasn't. Other industrial metals look quite cheap. Now, that's been a positive resetting of commodity prices at somewhat lower levels. And therefore, they're not causing much in the way of inflationary pressures in the short term, but as global GDP growth does pick up, as those commodity prices will move higher, and that will revive the commodity price inflation once again. It's a familiar story. It's deja vu all over again, as I've said. But at least we know what we need to be aware of. You weigh it all up. This has been a great month, and it's still not over. And chances are, if your portfolio is anything like mine, you've gone through a bit of a torrid patch, particularly since the beginning of late July, the beginning of August. But things are looking a whole lot better than they were at the beginning of the month. And that's a good point to pause. To all the best to all of you.